Matthew 16, come on. Matthew 16, 13. What do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who say you that I am? And we've been studying that about the revelation of Jesus and the Father. And then Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, in the last session, we reached a conclusion that the Father is the one building the church. Was that very clear? That children don't build the family. It's the Father's work. Not true? Okay. Now, notice something. I made an observation, and I thought you should have noted, that in the book of Acts, the term Father was used almost in a non-existent form. In Acts 1:4, Jesus was the one speaking. He spoke about the promise of my Father. In Acts 1:7, he says, the times and season which the Father hath in his own power. Then by Acts 2, verse 33, Peter says, being exalted at the right hand of the Father, he shed for this which you now see and hear. But after that, there is no mention of the Father. God is spoken about, but the characteristic that is familiar with family wasn't used. That shows you the book of Acts is an historical book. It's not a book of doctrine. You don't read the book of Acts to know who you are. For example, the book of Acts was where they were first called Christians in Acts 11. Christian. Even though God doesn't call us Christians, He calls us sons. Hallelujah. Are you still a Christian?
Yeah.
But my middle name is Christian. So how do I do this? So we said, this is the Father's work. When Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In our earlier study, we saw in John 5:17, He said, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. In other words, the work of the Son is the work of the Father. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? The work of the Son is the work of the Father. In John 5:19, He said the Son can do nothing of Himself except that which He sees the Father do. Nothing. So whatever Jesus was saying, the Father was at work. I want this to sink in your mind, in this captain. Not just to sink, to also stay. The Father. Notice this. In Acts 10:38, Peter says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, the Father walks in the Son. The Father does not walk on the Son. He walks in the Son. So the Son is the work of the Father. Hallelujah. In John 15 verse 1, don't forget where we left off. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Just the same thing. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And we said in the morning that it is only the Father that is working. The Son, don't forget, responds to the work of the Father. So, the Father is not waiting to see what you will do. No. He's responsible. He is working in you. Hallelujah. He's working. So, we'll find the work of the Father in everything done in the Son. The Son is not trying to impress the Father. No. The Son is giving expression to the Father. Are you getting this at all? Are you getting this? The Son is not to impress the Father. Notice what the Father said about Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, he's not pleasing me. I'm the one pleased with him. Praise God. So, despite popular opinion or what you think, the Father is pleased because the Son is his work. Hallelujah. Notice this. Jesus' death, we've been singing about his death and for the way he died for our sin. But you observe that this is the way the scripture presents it. Romans 5:8. For God commended his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's exactly how Jesus said it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So that means everything Jesus did, all the steps to save were the steps of the Father. He's the one working. He's the one working. Look at Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. Hallelujah. Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for all, how shall he not with him freely give us of all things? So that means the sacrifice of Jesus was Father helped. Father help. You know, he said, the Father gave me a commandment to lay my life down. He said he gave me that power to lay down my life and to pick it up again. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Father is working. You know, on the cross, depends on which part you read. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken? Matthew's Gospel 27:42. That's what he said. And we know he was quoting from the prophet David. Those words were first said by David as a prophecy. And Jesus took those words and he said it on the cross. Now I've explained to you, by the time you read Psalm 22 down, you will see the work of the Father. Yes. Because what the eyewitnesses will write is the beginning of his words. Not everything he said. Pay attention. But if you read Luke's account, Luke painted it differently. After saying that, Luke 23:46, he said, Father, unto your hands. Hallelujah. The Father is still working. He's still working. Unto your hands I commit my spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Unto your hands I commit my spirit. So, the Father is still watching. Are you following this at all? There was no time the Father wasn't working. He was. He's working. Has Jesus buried now? In Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Look at how he was raised. Romans 6, 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there? We give him praise all the time. Amen. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. But like as Christ was raised from the dead by what? The glory of the Father. The glory of the Father. The word glory in the Greek is doxa, where you show yourself, where you show your strength, where you show your capacity. He said the Father shows his capacity. So the Father's capacity was seen in Jesus when he was raised from the dead. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul was praying in 17 and 16. He says that you might know what is the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Then he says in verse 19, and what's the exceeding greatness of his power towards one who believes, according to the working of his mighty power. Now notice the prayer in 16. Then he's praying to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the subject of that prayer is who? The Father. What the Father did. So he says, the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought where? In Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. If I have time tomorrow, I explain the word right hand. Right hand does not mean right part of your body. Right hand means to exalt. It's a biblical term. You see it used in the Old Testament. Your right hand has delivered us. Doesn't mean that the left hand now threw you away. Right hand is the arm of power, the arm of authority. So when you say Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, that is not a location. It is a position. Not the left side hand of the Father, that his Father has a left part that there's nobody there, or maybe Satan. But the right hand, no. That means when you see a man's right hand, you see everything about him. That's what Jesus was saying. A man's right hand is he himself. Not the right part of his body. Don't get that wrong. It is not second in command. No. The right hand is all the commands. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, he showed his glory. So, Jesus demonstrated the Father in his incarnation, in his death, in his burial, and also in his resurrection. Father is working. Look at Philippians 2. Are you learning something? Someone talk to me. Are you learning something? Look at Philippians 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 9. Wherefore, God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Notice that. That at the name of Jesus, not at the mention, at the mention of your name, when he says, at the name of Jesus, that is, at the, listen to this, he said, God had given him a name. So, when he says, at the name, that is the moment he was raised from the dead, every knee should bow. Not the mention of his name. It's at the time Jesus was raised from the dead, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess. Whether in heaven, notice the word things is italicized, whether in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to whose glory? To the glory of God the Father. It is His glory. Hallelujah. The Son has no glory of His own. The glory is the glory of the Father. Are you following this? Come on, guys, are you following this? So the Father has all the glory. Let's track a little bit back. In John's Gospel 1:14, John puts it like this. He says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld the glory of only begotten of the Father." That means the glory is whose glory? The Father. Full of grace and truth. He's called only begotten there. The Greek word monogenoa or monogenes. That is, this is unique, is not one. It is uniqueness. Because the incarnation is unique. It will not be repeated. So, he used the word monogenes for what cannot be repeated. And the reason why it can't be repeated is not because of an impossibility, because he doesn't want to share his glory with anybody. No. It's because it ends what God had to do. For it to be repeated will mark failure. It had to be only begotten. Unique on its own. Full of grace and truth. And He is called the only begotten Son in John 3:16. Notice that. Again, the incarnation is whose glory? The glory of the Father. Now look at something in John 12:24. I am the Father's work. I thought you'd say that again. Look at this. Verse 24. Look at this. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. And if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Notice that. And Jesus in verse 27 said, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Hallelujah. So, the death of Jesus and His resurrection and ascension was to bring glory to the Father. That's why, look at later on in verse 35, 32. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto you." Now let me explain that word lifted from the earth. The word lifted from the earth refers to His resurrection. "If I be lifted from the earth, I will draw all men unto you." Unto me. To draw. The word draw there has something to do to appeal to people. He's lifted from the earth. Where was that? That's His death. In His death, He's not lifted from heaven. He's lifted from the earth. In His death. If I be lifted, in other words, if I be raised up, I will draw all. Because in chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," 14 and 15, "so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, and if any who believes in Him should not perish." That's not His death, that is His resurrection. Are you there? But don't forget, there can't be His resurrection if He didn't die. Because verse 24, chapter 12 says, "The corn of wheat will first of all fall into the ground and die. then by the resurrection of that corn, it will draw all men. It will bring forth much fruit. Hallelujah. So, how is it the glory of the Father? Because the Father is the sower. He's the husbandman. He's the planter. He's the one that put the seed to the ground. He's the one that will cause it to grow. He's the one that will ensure on the third day the seed brings forth much fruit. Hallelujah. That's the glory of the Father. Is someone out there? Is someone out there? Come on, are you there? But notice, the glory of the Father, he said, I will glorify it again. In other words, we saw the glory of the Father in the fact that Jesus came monogenoa. Then Jesus says, glorify yourself again. So, if his Son glorified him in the incarnation, then he says, he will glorify it again. That's not going to be Jesus alone. Are you listening now? Because the corn of wheat will be thrown to the ground by the farmer. And then, listen now, it will bring forth much fruit. That much fruit is the glory of the farmer. If Jesus rose from the dead alone, then the farmer failed. The glory of God is not that Jesus rose alone. Like someone rightly said, he said, when you look at the cross, it's not Jesus taking a selfie. He says it's a family picture. Who went with him. When he rose from the dead, Hebrews 2:10, he now brought many sons into that glory. So the glory of the Father in the resurrection is many sons. Let me see if you're following this. Come on. That's his glory. Many sons. So Jesus becomes the prototype. Why is he the prototype? Because he was the one that was sown. Prototokos. Prototokos. First begotten. Listen now. First begotten. And Romans 8:29 says he predestined us to be conformed. The word conformed is the Greek word suchematizo. Suchematizo is not a process. It's a once and for all event. So we are conformed. It's different from Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. Sorry, I mean that. It's somopho. Sorry for that. In Romans 8:29. Suchematizo is Romans 12:2, which is a process where you adjust your emotions, adjust your personality. In some of all, it is done once. It is used by manufacturers. You put in your raw material, you bring out the products. So, you put in the death of Jesus, and the product is that we are sons. Hallelujah. So right now, we are conformed to his image. That is, you have an irreversible status. It is called the Son of God. So whose glory is that? When we talk like this, who are we boasting? The Father. Because the Son is the work of the Father. Say, I bring glory to Him. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you following this? So go to John 14 again. In my Father's family, there are many temples. If it were not so, I'll have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians 1:18. I want to show you something quickly. Colossians 1:18. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So the incarnation was the glory of the Father. The resurrection is also the glory of the Father. That is to the glory of the Father. The Father is not absent. The Father is the only one walking. Follow that now. Colossians 1. Are you there? I'm not there myself. Colossians 1, 18. Therefore, he says, he is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. It changes the word slightly here, Paul, but he calls it the firstborn from the dead. Listen carefully. He's not saying that he's the firstborn, then you are second. Mm-mm. In this, listen now, in this, you will see many sons in him. So it's not a queue. Everyone will be found in him. The prototokos. Look at Ephesians 1:5. He said, he chose us before the foundation of the world, verse 4, to be holy and blameless before him in love. He said, he predestined us to be adopted as children by who? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So this is the Father's work. Because again, he said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So he's talking about his work. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, the incarnation is the Father's work. The sacrifice of Jesus is whose work? Father's work. His resurrection is whose work? Father's work. Now, in his resurrection, what is the glory of the Father there? He brought many sons. You see now? You're not done. Did you notice again that in Paul's prayer, he said that you will know the glory, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So, that is, you see now, in the resurrection, we have his glory. Then, he now, after the act of the resurrection, he now put his glory in us. Paul says, he will pray that your eyes be opened to see it. You won't see it by observation. You can only see it by revelation. Now go to Hebrews 4. Let me show you something quickly. So, the new birth, we are his glory. Are you there? Are you there? The new birth was glory. Now, in the morning, we said, fatherhood is not giving birth to alone. Fatherhood includes nurturing. Nurturing. So, those people, they assume, there are many Christians that don't believe deep down their minds that God, not that God is their father alone, God is even a father at all. They think, is a father somewhere, but not down their hands. Because if you recognize his fatherhood, you will not think he asks you to train yourself. You won't think like that. I mean, I don't expect your kids to think that they will train themselves through life. No. They know you take care of them. They know that. I don't expect your kids to think, okay, your baby maybe has to, now I'm using a very carnal example, maybe your baby has to pee, say, I cannot behold this. You better get something and clean it up. No one will do it for you. No one does it for our father. Do you hear me? I told you in the morning, there is nothing you can do that he cannot handle.
He will handle it. Hallelujah. He will handle it. He will handle it. Praise God.
Does it mean that the Father does not correct us? No, He does. But He corrects us as a father, not a principal. Not a principal. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever been there when someone tried to scold your son? And you know that your child was wrong. But somewhere, you just look. You know, you look closely. And you say, he will understand. You always prefer to do it yourself. Hallelujah. Don't say, do you know something? And he gives your child a slap. I didn't ask you to do that. Hallelujah. You know, it's just natural instinct. Even my own mother, sometimes she's talking to my children. And I'm looking at her with one eye. They are my children, not yours. You know? How much more the only one who has an eternal status of father. Every other father is temporary. How much more? How would he abandon his children? And say, well, he has not been praying. So what can I do? He has not been reading the Bible. I don't even know number this one is. How many children do I have said? Our father is not born through away. He's born and cared for. Born and nurtured. Born. Hallelujah. Our father doesn't abandon us for anything. He takes care of us till the very end. And when we get to the end and the end starts to start all over again, he continues his work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Hebrews 12. Glory to God. Verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. The word there is who heals. Children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Again, don't use your religious glasses. For whom the Lord loveth, he's quoting Proverbs chapter 3 verse 12, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. God bless their darling hearts. You go back to Proverbs 3:12. The word scourges is not there. It's actually delight. See the difference. North and south. He receives the son in whom he delights in. So in other words, pay attention. He says, it's out of his love that he chastises us. Now the word chastise means to correct. We did a series recently in church on the wrath of God and encounters with the God kind. And I explained to you in church, I said there's a difference between fault finding and correction. In fault finding, you judge, you condemn. In correction, what you are looking out for is for the first fellow to improve. They're two different things. And we looked at it all through the epistles. Paul says, the power I have is not unto destruction, but unto edification. So, hear this. Look at the love of the Father. Look at the Father now. Hebrews 12. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father doesn't correct? Always change that word to correct by instruction. If you be without chastisement, whereof are you partakers? Then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which correct us and gave them reverence. Shall we not more rather be in subjection unto the Father of the Spirit and what? Leave. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, so say for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
So he does this as part of his work. Now, how does he correct? He corrects with words. With words. He corrects with words. He doesn't correct with experiences.
God is dealing with me. How do I know?
I know. He corrects with words. That's how he does it. How did Jesus correct people?
Do you know the Father corrected people in Christ?
How did he correct them?
As you said, "Who is it? Go away!" I just said, "Go, the Father, go." That's the Father is moving. He's moving.
Is that correct?
Oh, everyone that opposed the Father, opposed the Son. As you oppose the Son like this. In fact, you wanted to even abuse Jesus. As you abused him, you lost your right leg. Bah!
I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. One time, he was going to preach, and some folks stopped him. And his disciple said, he said, "Lord, would we that we call down fire
like Elijah did?
Fire. The God that answers by fire is not our Father."
Hallelujah. The Bible says Jesus rebuked them.
But you know, that's important. He rebuked them with words. That's how the Father corrects. That's how he corrects.
You know, some folks have come to an extreme. They say the Holy Spirit does not say anything when you sin. That's not biblical.
No.
The Holy Spirit does not condemn you, but the Holy Spirit does
correct you.
It was sorry.
He corrects you.
And how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Because after the correction, you will have fruit. The fruit cannot be tears. The fruit cannot be, "I can see I'm not worthy." That's not the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth will point yet to your capacity and your ability. Are you there? So some folks have said some wrong things. That's not biblical. So he will correct. Jesus rebuked them and said, "Know ye not?" Notice how the Father corrects. "Know ye not." I'm ashamed to even think I know. He's so sad that I gave back to him. I wasted my spirit, my eternal life, everything on you. The Father will say, "Know ye not." Every time Paul is correcting people, he says, "Know ye not. Know ye not." Because any correction that doesn't make you know who you are in Christ is not the Spirit of God. Any correction that empowers your capacity. You know, some people do a series in church and they explain in a whole session what fornication is. That is what you didn't even know before. They give you the epignosis. The Spirit of Truth will tell you who you are. Know ye not. And I heard the Lord say to me, "I can't imagine that you are my son." Which Lord? There are many Lords and many Lords. The Spirit of God is consistent with the written word. Know ye not. It brings us into knowledge.
Every correction of the Father brings us into knowledge. How many of you have been class teachers before? You done class teacher? I've done class teacher before. I remember when I was a class teacher, and they didn't pay my salary. Then I wasn't a Christian. I was a preacher, but I was not a Christian. If you know what I mean. I went to the school boss of the school owner, and I laid hands. I said, "You refuse to work from today. I command fire upon you." Say, "Nobody touches the apple of God's eye and goes for you over salary." If you ask me how much, I won't tell you. The money is not enough to even to do anything worthwhile. You don't even have to ask $1. No, it's not enough. Okay, $1 is 400 naira. It's just about that. And I cursed a car. And the car stopped working. To the glory, not of God the Father, to the glory of the devil, who was working in my flesh. Or in the flesh. So if you are teaching, when you mark a script, and you say wrong, is that correction? No. Correction is when you write the answers. Do you understand? When you say wrong, that's not correction. That is condemnation. In correction, you will write the answer. So our Father corrects us. He does not wrong our maths. Hallelujah. Is that clear to you? He corrects us. So that's why when He corrects us, we know. So that correction again is His glory. He's not tired of it. He takes glory in the fact that He puts us right. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Just how to say, "Daddy taught me this. You know, when I went astray, Daddy helped me out. Daddy gave me how to start." That's the glory of the Father. I said you are the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. So every mistake is an opportunity for Him to be glorified. He will correct you. He will tell you what to do. He will tell you how to go about it. Hallelujah. It's all His glory. Hallelujah. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant, above all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in Him, to Him be the glory in all the church forever. Hallelujah. It is glory. Amen. So follow this command. So He corrects us because we are His children. Listen to me. We are not official children. So if you are looking for your name in one book, you will see it. We're not official children. Say, so come. You have answered that call? When? Okay. Move closer. What's your name again? Ogunlakaye. How do you come with that name? Change it. Jesu Lakaye. Come on. Okay. Bye-bye. Be careful. No. This matric number is in pencil. I can change it anytime. What's your name? You are too black for my kingdom. So, you know, he's right. How many of you write your children's name? Why do we get Kana? Is it the writing that makes someone your child? Someone say, "What if they don't see your name there?" That's not a problem. That means it is not our family album. Because we are not official. So stop seeing yourself as an official child. Imagine your son saying, "Daddy, I didn't see my name in your diary. What are you looking for your name? You are my son." I mean, write some people's names so I will remember. But not my own children. Hallelujah.
That is why we are not official. He said, listen. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are not official children, we are natural children. So, Galatians 4. Galatians 4, quickly. Galatians 4. And then Romans 8:16 says, and the Spirit bears witness. Hallelujah. It bears witness. So any spirit on any pulpit that does not bear witness is not the Spirit of God. Any spirit that is teaching you second work of grace and say, you know, we are children, will become sons. Is it a grammar problem? You are a child, then you become sons. Let's look at it normally. Put down Bible. How would your child become a son? You know, religion is a bastard. Your child now became a son. So what did you give birth to before? A rabbit? Okay. The Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. In other words, any spirit that doesn't bear witness is not of God. Is not of God. See, you can resist. You know what we said about an offense against the word. I was somewhere years back, and this man was prophesying. You know, sometimes we're not just sensible. Recently, there was a governor who said in this country, he said that people were sick of meningitis because of fornication. So God was angry. They were not fornicating with God, but he was angry. So he's angry. Then he takes the meningitis, not on the people doing it, but on children. And then some Christians try to react. How can you say that? I said, do you have cognitive dissonance? I think it's because of the way the governor said it. If he had said, Mogogosa, Negadiga, Nagaraga, Alegege, and I, the Lord, I say, oh, many diitis. Many diitis. Ah, I see. You know, you would have been believed. It's because he did not say it in a charismatic way. That's the reason. People go to their churches every Sunday and hear the same things. Anybody standing against you in your office, we send missiles upon him. It's on television. You'll be ashamed. We declare they will die. Yeah, die. So, the governor is only a Pentecostal preacher in Islam. Nonsense. But we know the Spirit of God. We've seen the Father walk in the Son. He doesn't hurt. He doesn't do evil. No, he doesn't do it. If you oppose the Father, he will love you yet. Because he was opposed in the Son. He loved you. You know, right on the cross, he said, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. Sometimes that statement makes me confused. Jesus, they don't know what they're doing? I think they do. Because I'm thinking like a natural man. Galatians 4:6. Are you learning something? Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, glory to God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. So you are not a son officially. You are a son naturally. In Galatians 3:13, Paul says, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written,
Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles who received the promised Spirit through faith. The promised Spirit. In other words, the Spirit was promised. Remember, Abraham looked at a city whose maker and builder is God. He saw men who were made from God. He saw men who had the Spirit of God. That was a promise to him. But that promise has been received by all. God has sent forth that Spirit in our heart, crying, Abba, Father. So what does Paul say? He says, oh foolish Galatians, who has judged you? Who has used something on you? Who? Before whose eyes Christ was evidently set forth, crucified among you? What's he saying? It's written, you can see written in the word, that Christ died for you. Who is bewitching you? Who is doing it? And you are redeeming firstborn. I mean, I've been very stupid too. But one day, a preacher said, if you want the power of God, raise your right hand. I raised my right hand. He said, raise your left. I said, if I go and do like this, I was in the boarding house, they'll give me copper. Let me just do like this. This is enough. Whatever God wants to do, let him do it here. I tell people, if I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, immediately I got born again, it would take time. Because I would think. They didn't allow me to think, I just spoke in tongues. And it was real. If they gave me 1 week, I like to think. Hallelujah. So, Paul says, we have become the children of God by faith. Galatians 3:26. By faith. That means by the promised Spirit that we have received by faith, we are now the children of God. The word you will hear us in the Greek. We are his sons. Hallelujah. Are you there? So when he now tells you in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit. Which Spirit? The Spirit of the Son. The Spirit of the family. Walking in the Spirit is not an instruction as much as it's an expression. Because the Spirit is the Spirit of sons. It's do what is natural to you. Galatians 5:16-17. That's why he will say the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when he says the fruit of the Spirit, it means the result of you receiving the Spirit is love. He's not saying you are going to bear love. Mm-mm. Love is there because you have received the Spirit. So walk in it. That's why he said. Because we are alive. If you are alive. Galatians 5:24 says, we have Christ. We have crucified the flesh, the lust, and the affection thereof. Since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So living in the Spirit is not effort. Is by being born. And walking in the Spirit is also not efforts. It's a response to your nature. Do what is natural to you. Say, love is natural to me. Or say like me. Say, love is natural to me. Gentleness is natural to me. Peace is natural to me. Joy is natural to me. Meekness is natural to me. Faithfulness is natural to me. Endurance is natural to me. Hallelujah. That's the fruit of the Spirit. We have it already. The fruit of the Spirit is not you are growing something. No. The Father has sown it into our hearts. We have His nature. Are you there? So you are a good husband. You're a good wife. You're a good master at work. You're a wonderful employee. A wonderful employer. You have all the capacities to be a good employer. You don't need anyone to take you through therapy. No. You need no therapy. Just see who you are. You are not a naturally angry person. No, you are not. It's not in our family. No. You are not a lustful person. It's not in our family. You are not an impatient person. It's not in our family. Hallelujah. Every time you are impatient, what will the Spirit say? Know ye not that you are patient? Know ye not that you are loyal? That's what he's going to tell you. Till it dawns on you, you begin to walk in that truth. So the Spirit is our family DNA. It's our family DNA. Notice something. Galatians 5:16 said, if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does it mean to be led of the Spirit? The word led is the word ago. A-G-O. The word ago will mean there must be where you are coming from and where you are going to. So we were led from the law into grace. We were led from works into faith. We were led from the flesh into the Spirit. So being led is a past tense. Romans 8:14 is a past tense. You were led from the flesh. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made them free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, in that was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son, like the sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, he's talking about the flesh, and then the Spirit. He said, he has set us free. In other words, we are not in the flesh. Hallelujah. We're not there. We are now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He goes further. He says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. He said, therefore, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. So the pleasing of God is not an action. It's a location. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. You are not in the flesh. Say, I am not in the flesh. But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God. Now, so how are we not in the flesh? Because we have received the Spirit of adoption. How the Spirit of God bless you? If any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these. If Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin, and the Spirit is life to righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken your own mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. And we're debtors, not to the flesh, but to the flesh. But if you through the flesh modify the deeds of the Spirit, but the deeds of the body, you shall live as many as are led. Led from where? From the flesh. That's salvation. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How are you led? For we have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, thereby we cry, Abba, Father. So how are we led? The minute we receive the Spirit, we're led from the flesh into the Spirit. So that leading is a past tense. Led. It's not as many as will be led, as many as are led. Past tense. We have been led, church. I said we have been led. We are no longer in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. So we walk. We walk in what the Father has walked. It's like you getting to know that your dad left things for you. Your dad, you got born and your father's already set up companies for you. He gave a house for you. So what you do, you don't walk anymore, you walk. You don't walk anymore, you walk. You walk in what the Father has walked. Hallelujah. Are you following this? This is what every believer ought to be told. The Father is not glorified by performance. Is only glorified when we walk. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. Write this down. We should stop worshiping the God of Israel. We should.
we should stop seeing the God of Israel. He's the same person, but Israel saw him in a way we must never see him. We see him in a way Israel never saw him. Remember, we read it. Exodus 6:2. I am that I am, or I will be. By my name El Shaddai was that known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But by my name to be, I was not known. To be what? To be a father. Hallelujah. To be a father. He's a father to us today. So we must not see God like Israel and call him chieftaincy title. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. How again? Sundry times, diverse manners. J.B. Phillips' version says, in partial revelations of the truth. But in these last days, he has spoken in his Son. So we don't see him in types and shadows. We see him in the full light. And in the full light, he is our Father. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Are you still there? He's my Father. He's my Father. He's my Father. He's my Father. He doesn't require self-effort. We have said that again and again. Because you are his work. You are his work. Say, I am his work. If anything you got out of this session is that you are his work. You are his work. He wants you to rest in that truth. That you are his work. Look at John 6:22. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Glory, glory, glory. E.W. Kenyon. I don't know why I'm quoting the Lord that morning. E.W. Kenyon said something. I read his book, In His Presence. I'll never forget it. I read it A46 Tether Hall, University of Ibadan. I read it and I couldn't sleep. That when we pray, he said we fellowship the Father and we practice his presence. I've never heard anyone say that. Never. I've never heard it. We used to call God Father among many other names. So at each point, it depends on the name that is registering at each time. But I saw it. I said, my God, we fellowship the Father fact in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. 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 John 6:23, are you there? What does it say? John 6:23. No, John 6:29 is an error. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who has sent you. Who he had sent. Believe. To believe. So say to believe. Say, I have believed. I have believed. Do you know the funny thing? Look at what he calls work. That blows my mind. He calls work to do nothing. Because believing means you are doing nothing. You are only relying on what someone else has done. And he calls it work. Hallelujah. That's the work. To believe. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says, we which have believed, we have entered into his rest. We have. And today people have used that verse for all sorts. Rest is salvation. That's what it means. In verse 11, he says, labor that you should enter into his rest. It's serious. The word labor there means be eager to enter. Now because that's an evangelistic sermon. Be eager to believe.
and enter into his rest. That's not for you and I. We have entered already.
Hallelujah. Say, I have entered. Say, I have entered.
So what is left to do?
It's to realize. To realize. Jesus said, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Hallelujah. Say, I am the Father's work. Say, I am the Father's work. Glory, glory, glory. 1 John 4, I am the Father's work. Remember, the Father corrects us. Sometimes the correction may be tough. Sometimes the correction will not be palatable. Sometimes the correction may not be what we like. But the truth is, in that correction, we know. Hallelujah. Any correction that doesn't bring knowledge is not the Father. I was saying something, I skipped it. I knew I was going to say something. I was in a meeting before I talked about the governor. I was in a meeting. It was a lot of stuff. It was an all night. Or like some people call it night vigil. I don't know where else a vigil can take place if not at night. A vigil is at night. Amen. So I went to preach. So I was supposed to speak after this fellow. And so he begins to talk. He was doing well. Not that he said anything spectacular, but he said nice things about God. No, no problem. I mean, great. So, as he began to minister, he ministered very well. In fact, he gave out words of knowledge, he called out the sick, and he laid hands on them. And I was so glad. Then he got to a point, he was carried away. And he yielded to something that he alone can tell us. He pointed to a lady, and she came out. And he began to mention things she did before she believed the gospel. As I heard that, I ran forward. I said, no! It's a vigil. You should be vigilant. I said, that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He is consistent. The man was shocked. She couldn't fault it. The lady went back. I said, go back to the seat. And I went back. The man just started singing praises. Hallelujah. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn. That's not the Spirit of God. So if they call you out, you are doing testimony. Come and tell us your life. And they're playing music in the background. In 1941, some of you know me. Henceforth, no we, no man. After the flesh. Hallelujah. If they ask you to come and tell your story, tell the story of Jesus. Say, I was buried with him. Hallelujah. I was raised together with him. Now I sit at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. People are confused. You will see them in the same service. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a thought. This is my story. They say, come and tell your story. 1981. Are you not confused? You just told us your story. How many stories do we believe? You are padding your story. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Hallelujah. Some people can give you lovely stories. I remember John Wesley. John Wesley gave a story of how he went into the woods and he prayed and prayed. He said, I got the blessed sanctification. Blessed ignorance, John Wesley. It was just a good feeling. At the end of his life, John Wesley said, I doubt
whether this doctrine of sanctification has actually worked in anyone's life. It can't work because it's not true, sir. He knows now it doesn't work. Sanctification is the work of the sanctifier. Hallelujah. He doesn't come by prayer. He doesn't come by effort. He doesn't come by seeking grace and confessing it and say, I now tap into the grace. I access it. I take it over. I possess it. Something is troubling your mind. Let not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. You are sanctified. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. He said, my peace I leave with you. Eh? He didn't say, my peace, leave it alone.
Hallelujah. 1 John 4:16. Are you learning something? Thank you, Lord. The great day is coming. The great day is coming. Oh, men are standing before the throne of God. And give account of themselves. I will stand. You will stand. My father will stand. My mother will stand. All men shall stand before the throne of God and give account of themselves. Oh, my darling Jesus, for your work is set on fire. You will be my God.
So you know. But what kind of thinking makes you feel a responsible father will gather his children and unbelievers together? That's an irresponsible father. Why Paul says, know ye not that we shall judge the world? Listen, judgment is our family company. It's a company in our family. No, we own many companies. One of the companies we own in the family business, is called judgment. Hallelujah. Know ye not. He said the saints, he said they will judge angels. They will judge the whole world. Know ye not. As you are singing us on that great day, the Spirit of God is correcting you. Know ye not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I told you about a sermon. When I first heard it, I used to cry. Even when they play the tape, I know the first song, I'm shaking over someone. Yesterday, when I played it, I was laughing. Because my mind had been fixed. I knew it was rubbish. Paul said, all those things I count dung. The word dung actually means, is dung, is what you see in the toilet. Paul says those works are what you see in the toilet. I count them done. Hallelujah. There are so many things, many preachers. Some preachers, everything is in the toilet. They now bring it from the toilet to the pulpit. Hallelujah. Are you still there? What was that? 1 John 4:16. Sorry for that. How we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment because as he is. Now what will he be on the day of judgment? He will be the one judging. As he is, so are we in this world. A dear friend of mine said, if John had made a mistake of not hiding in this world, the kind of interpretation that verse will have. As he is, so are we. He said, well, what is trying to say there? But by putting in this world, how do you see that? I mean, he said, we have known. I mean, that takes faith. Particularly, John was writing to people, he said, if any man sin, the same people. The same people he said that they should not be selfish. and love their neighbors, love their brethren. He now says, after saying all that, and he is, so are we. So our conduct does not change our nature. It's our nature that changes our conduct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you still there? 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved. That's the same word John used in Revelation 2:4. You have moved away from your first love. Put on agape. We love because he first loved us. Listen to me, church. Keep your relationship with God simple. Don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. See him in a very plain way as your father. Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, I'm closing now. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul was describing fathers. 2 Corinthians 12. Are you learning something? 2 Corinthians 12. Paul, he's describing a father. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 14. Behold, the third time, I'm ready to come to you. I will not be bothersome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. In scripture, it is the father who provides. He provides. He provides. Notice how the father is described. Listen now. The father is the giver. He's not just the giver. He's the source of what he gives. He's not just the source. He's the sustainer of it. He's the giver. He's the source. He's the sustainer. Jesus said he gives good gifts. He gives his spirit. He gives life. He gives love. He gave his son. Did you notice that there is no verse that says the father takes? The father always gives. Say the father always gives. So, that means that my mind must be corrected. God is not a principal. Don't forget that. He is a father. He gives. Whatever he wants us to do, he gives. So let's wrap up this way. We saw his glory in the incarnation. His glory in the life of Jesus. His glory in the death of Jesus. That's it. His glory in his burial. But much more glory. Jesus rose from the dead. Just like the incarnation was not the handiwork of the incarnate one. It was the glory of the Father. In the new body, we are his glory. In John 17:22. Are you learning something? Tonight we're going to yield to the Spirit of God in a very different way. Everyone will. Say, I will. Yield to the Spirit. Walking in me. Hallelujah. You know, to yield to the Spirit, you don't wait for something to happen. You give expression to the working of the Father in you. Hallelujah. Are you there? Verse 22, John 17. You want to read this? You want to read this? Let's read it together. Let's go. And the glory that you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. How about that? How do you read this and seek for sanctification? How do you read this and want to be holy? What are you reading? He said, the glory. He said, the glory. Have I given you the same glory? In the resurrection, we have the same glory as Jesus does. You know, it's important that we know this. that you know this. When we go wrong, it happens to all of us. Preacher, even the people preaching second work of grace, it happens to them. And the third work. But our experiences don't change who we are. And what he says that I have what he says I have. It's best now. Let's sing that song. Father, me, praise God. Praise God. God is your Father. He's your Father. Always remember that he is your Father. In the midst of correction, he's your Father. In the midst of your failures. So when you fail in the natural, you confess the strength of your Father. You confess his glory. Amen.